What happens? What happens when life turns out far different than you expected? Ever have that happen? What happens when life turns out far different from what you expected? You know, expectations build up over a lifetime of experiences. The experts tell us that the primary resources for our expectations are family, previous relationships, the culture we live in, and our core belief systems. So in other words, our expectations are influenced by mom and dad, boyfriends and girlfriends, television and the internet, and our understanding of God. That's where expectations come from. Think about Paul for a moment. Paul had a girlfriend who drilled into him the idea that you don't have to open up the door for me. See, Paul grew up in a household where dad always opened up the door for mom. And seeing that and modeled before him his whole life, he thought, that's what you do. That's an expectation. But this girlfriend got mad at him when he opened up the door for her. So after a while, he finally got it through himself. Okay, you don't open up doors. Well, they broke up. Next girlfriend comes along. Her name is Janet. He marries Janet. Janet's mad because he doesn't open up the door. See, Janet grew up in a house, too, where dad always opened up the door for mom, and she saw that, learned that, expected that. And so now Paul, the poor guy, it's like he's trying to unlearn what took him so long to learn. Expectations. But we deal with them every single day in all kinds of situations. Expectations. As a child, we expect to be loved and cared for, protected. As a teenager, you expect to get your driver's license. And for a lot of us, you expect to go to college. As an adult, you expect to find a good paying job. Many times you expect to get married, have a family, and you expect a happy retirement. We all have expectations. But you know and I know nobody lives a life where everything goes according to your expectations. Disappointments, frustrations, and curveballs keep coming at you. So maybe the real question is this: what do we do with life's surprises? What do we do with unfulfilled expectations? Like us to go to the cross. Like us to consider the events surrounding the cross. And ask this morning, what role do expectations play at the cross? To be specific, what were Mary's expectations regarding her son Jesus? And what happened to those expectations? We're going to show you a video clip. Somebody get the light. Oh, Scott, get the light. Thanks.
This would be God's plan for her life.
This man, I find that enough punishment.
He's no kid.
And how many of us have had a moment like that today, where we look around at our life and we say, how did it come to this?
I am innocent of this man's blood.
Let his blood be on us and on our children!
This isn't how I thought things would work out. This isn't the way I thought my story would go. What do you do when you realize that God might have a plan for your life that's very different from your own?
Take him to the place of the skull and crucify him.
Knowing your son was to be crucified must have been the worst of all horrors for a first century mother.
In the ancient world, there were many forms of execution. Maybe they would stone someone. Still other times, it would just be a simple stroke of the sword. They might even poison someone with hemlock. They knew how to do it very cheaply and efficiently. The crucifixion, on the other hand, it required time and money, manpower. It required a centurion and four soldiers. So why crucify anyone? Well, they did it when they wanted to maximize the pain. And they crucified someone when they really wanted that person to be publicly humiliated. It's such a different ending than the one Mary would have expected. Her story began with so much hope and promise.
The announcement of God's plan for her life came while she was engaged to Joseph. An angel appeared to her and said, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary said. "May it be to me as you have said."
God's plan for Mary's life begins with this glorious announcement from an angel. The angel's announcement? An unplanned pregnancy. I am sure that is not how Mary imagined her teenage years playing out. But the Bible tells us that when she realizes this is God's plan for her, she obediently embraces it. And yet, I wonder. I mean, if she knew this was God's plan, don't you think she assumed it would be a trouble-free pregnancy and everything would just sort of come together? And so, after giving birth in a stable and running for her life from an evil king who wanted to kill her son, I think she probably questioned if God had really thought this whole plan out. Sometimes we have those same questions. I mean, if this is really God's plan, then why do I have financial problems? Or why didn't I get the job I applied for? We think if it's God's plan, we won't have trouble in our marriage, that our children will grow up healthy. We have these expectations. I mean, if our story is really being written by God, if he's the author, then we expect a happily ever after ending.
Why is this happening to me? This doesn't make any sense. It's not supposed to go this way. Did you ever find yourself asking those questions? I'm sure you have. So have I. I can't begin to imagine what Mary was thinking or feeling. "You're going to give birth to God's son." Wow, what does that mean? And all the expectations be going through your mind of what that means. And then to watch him hanging on a cross makes no sense at all. What's going on, God? I can't imagine how she felt. Did she feel like God had abandoned her? Did she feel like God had betrayed her? Did she feel like God had lied to her? Wow. Have you ever felt abandoned or betrayed or lied to? You know, I think about Bible verses. Isaiah 55, verse 8, we read these words. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." I go, okay, I guess that means God thinks different than we do. And then Hosea 14:9. The ways of the Lord are right. So it's like, okay, I guess he's always right. But we don't think the same, and I sure don't understand what's going on. And so, you know, I guess sometimes, and we hate to admit it, but I guess sometimes we just don't understand. We don't have all the answers. Remember an ambulance call a long time ago, as I heard at the West End. Two boys were in a car, speeding in a car. They hit a steep embankment. They went up the embankment, hit a telephone pole. Both those teenage boys were killed instantly. I remember there were beer cans all over the back of the car. I remember being there. It was so quiet. It was eerie. There's really nothing we could do. Life Flight came. There's a doctor on Life Flight this time. He pronounced the two boys dead. And I remember, it's just dead quiet. It's so weird. And we're waiting for mom and dad to show up. I remember they pulled into a car. Remember seeing them come out, went to the car. They knew right away that they knew it was their son's car. They knew it. They got there. They saw the two boys, and they just, of course, broke down immediately and wept and wept and wept. And pretty soon the mom started screaming, and people were trying to calm her down, and she's screaming, "Why? Why?" Well, I'll never forget that scream. Never. You can hear it now. It wasn't supposed to be this way. We've all got expectations for our kids, for family members, for people. That's not how it's supposed to end. It was heart-shattering. And when I see the video, which is done so well, I'm thinking about, you know, Mary, and she's got to be screaming in her soul, "Why? That's my baby boy hanging on that cross. Why? It's not supposed to be that way." Of course, you and I can be Monday morning quarterbacks. You know, we've read the thing. We know why. But at that moment, she doesn't. She doesn't understand. So my thought is, what can we learn from this today? Well, it seems like when God's plan isn't clear, when life brings unexpected pain and a lot of questions, God can be trusted. God can still be trusted. Psalm 52:8. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You can trust God. If Mary could have seen the bigger picture, at that moment she didn't. But you and I know, I'm sure Mary knows now, that you can trust God. And in 1 Peter 4:12, Peter makes an incredible statement. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. He's saying, hey, are you a Christian? Expect suffering. Expect pain. Expect unfulfilled expectations. Expect it. It's going to happen to all of us, sometime, some way. Persecution and suffering, we know it's nothing new to the Christian life. Much of what goes on in the world depends on lies and pride and greed and lust for power. But a dedicated Christian builds his life on truth and holiness, love, peace, Jesus Christ. They're opposites. We're opposite from the world. That makes us the enemy of this world. Whatever glorifies God will anger the ruler of this world, and that's Satan. And he will attack. So Peter said, if you're a Christian, expect it. The enemy is going to do everything he can to mess you up. Expect it. It's going to come. But then he adds the next verse, verse 13. But, there's that little word, but, rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Wow! The trial of our faith today, the pain, the persecution, the unfulfilled expectations of today, okay, the trial of your faith today is the assurance of glory when Jesus returns. Jesus is not going to replace suffering with glory. He's going to transform your suffering into his glory. He doesn't promise us, and you know that, a world without suffering or pain. He never promised that ever. But he promises he's going to take that suffering, that pain, that grieving, those unfulfilled expectations, and over time, he will transform them into joy. Praise God. Praise God. He gives us an example, Jesus does, in the book of John, in John 16. And this is so easy to miss. It's only a couple verses, but he spells it out. John 16, 20. John 16, 20. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve. But, there's that little word again, your grief will turn to joy. And then he gives a little example. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her what? Joy. That a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. He's looking down the road at the cross. He knows that time is coming. He knows the cross is coming. He knows the grieving is coming. Now is your time of grief, he says to his disciples and us. But I will see you again. And you will rejoice. And no one will take away your joy. Your joy. Hallelujah. Your joy. It's like we pay a price today in order to have joy in the future. We have unfulfilled expectations. We experience great disappointment. We are persecuted and suffer pain, knowing that one day we will be glad and filled with joy. God can be trusted. He can be trusted. God will transform your pain into joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The challenge, I think, for us this week is to ask ourselves two questions and to think about it, pray about it, and so on, to take this a step further. And the first question is, I think, for us to ask, you know, what do I expect from God? What do I expect from God? And then the second question is, what does God expect from me? What does he expect from me? Am I a disappointment to him? Am I an unfulfilled expectation to him? Do I cause God to grieve? Wow. Or can I do something or start to do something now to change all that? Can I do something and be the person I need to be to fulfill God's expectations of me? There's lots to think about. But I challenge you and me to think about that stuff this week. Let's pray. Father, we just come to the cross and I never thought about it before, Lord, to be honest, this idea of the expectations and the role expectations play in the Easter story. And what was on Mary's heart? What was she expecting? I can imagine what she was expecting, and I can feel her incredible pain and hurt. And Father, all of us have gone through pain and hurt and grieving and unfulfilled expectations. We've all gone through disappointments. But Lord, I believe what's important here is, what do we do with them? I think you're calling us to trust you. Lord, I think you're calling us to say, you know what? Keep the faith. Keep praying. Don't give up. Lord, I think you're saying, hang in there, because I will transform your pain into joy. So, Father, please watch over us. Many of us, Lord, right now are facing disappointments and pain and grief in one way or another. We need to hear that, Lord. We need to trust you. We need to keep praying. We need to keep the faith. And we need to remember that it's going to somehow, through you, it's going to turn into joy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your power, that you can turn pain into joy. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, so much that that will encourage all of us in our walk, Lord. It will encourage all of us. And Lord, we can be an encouragement to somebody else who feels that pain right now, Lord. And may it all be for your glory. And Lord, we live in a world that is full of pain and grieving and disappointment and curveballs. May we let our light shine. And may we be the hope that is from you. And may we share that hope with all those around us. May we feel that hope ourselves. Jesus, thank you. Thank you.